Any testimony?
You know, I was up down the cemetery this morning, and I was looking at, you know, the grave, mm-hmm. and looking at some of the other graves there, and, you know, this life is so short. It is so short. I mean, it's just amazing how short this life is.
Even the longest ones are short.
Yeah. When you look at them dates, we're here for a short, short
There's a short, brief time between that little dash, ain't it?
That little dash represents your whole
life. A whole life.
Your whole life, that's right.
That's right.
It's different when, you know, you hear about somebody dying and not close to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody you see, it'll be a family member.
Right.
Makes it more real.
It becomes so personable.
Yeah. It's real personable, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just different.
Yeah. Also helps you relate to other people who lose people that are personable to them, but that you may not be aware of, that you encounter in the highways and byways of life, that are going through a difficult time because of losing someone that you had no personal contact with, and it doesn't affect you, but you know they're affected by it. And so it helps you consider that during those times. All right, well, let's jump in the Word here. We're in the book of Revelation, but we just come out of Titus. Man, we were over in the book of Daniel. We've been all over. Old Daniel and Revelation, and you're going to see kind of run with one another. But anything you got, you want to give away. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's we're up to chapter 3 today, but anywhere, we just getting started. In the book, it's a great book, great message for us. Notice how this unfold. It's a message which God gave to Jesus, which to show his servants. Jesus gave it to an angel, and the angel gave it to John, and John sends it to the seven churches. Now you know how that would go in here. If I pulled Trevor out and gave him a message to go give to Davin, and Davin gave it to Greg, and Greg gave it to Chris, and Chris gave it to Shannon, and Shannon passed it on to the rest of us, would we get that message right between the four of us? You with me? But that's how it unfolds, the first few verses, the unveiling. That word revelation means to unveil, a pulling back of the curtain. Let's just say that. It's as if you went to a play and they had the curtain up and there was much going on behind the curtain that you didn't know, couldn't see, had no clue to, until they pulled back the curtain and let you see what they've been preparing. And this is the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, Jesus, to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he, Jesus, sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And then John then records this message and sends it out to the seven churches, which are in Asia. And then we see these, of course, these seven churches. But verse 3, notice what it says. Blessed is he who what? Reads, those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The last call, the final call that we see here. So there's a blessing in reading it, there's a blessing in hearing it, and there's a blessing in keeping this precious prophetic word. And we keep in mind, Revelation is also going to teach us that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Any prophetic thing that God's going to do is always going to be the testimony of Jesus. If Jesus ain't in it, if it ain't about him, if it ain't for him, you can count God out of it, because he ain't involved in it. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to be in it. And everything he does is going to be surrounded with Jesus, because everything that God does for man is going to be in Christ. And that which he does in Christ has an eternal glory with it. This is not just some fly-by-night thing that God decided to do later. This takes us way back of what God was doing. I think there's a passage. Look in Ephesians. Look in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, I think it is. Now, I could be wrong. Go back a few books. Get to the Gospels and Corinthians and Galatians. Ephesians 3. Yeah, I think it's Ephesians 3. Paul says in verse number, let's see. All this just continues to the couple and fit together. It's exactly what he said to us in Titus when he wrote to Titus in Crete. Verse 7 says, of which I became a minister. We're talking about the gospel, and the gospel is the good news of the redeeming grace of God in Christ Jesus. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given me. See, there is no ministry without grace.
Amen.
There is no message without grace. And if grace ain't in it, God ain't in it. Because if God's dealing with us, it's going to be through grace.
Yeah.
The grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power to me, who is less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Notice that. If he's going to be preaching, it's going to be about who?
Christ.
And the things he's going to preach are just boundless. There is no limit to them. They're unsearchable. You can't get to the end of it. You'll never run out of stuff to preach about Jesus.
Amen.
And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through who? Man, if the gospel's all about Jesus and everything he created is about Jesus, everything's going to be about who?
Jesus.
I'm telling you. So he goes on to say in verse number 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, that's us, the believers, to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the what? Eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal purpose. So what we find in this unveiling and revelation of what John is doing is an eternal purpose. This is an eternal work. It has an eternal scope to it. It's not just something that God come up with in these last days or when he wrote the book of Revelation. No, this is all has the scope of the eternal salvation in Christ Jesus that started before time ever began.
Amen.
This eternal purpose. Verse 12 says, in whom we have, which is Jesus, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Man. See, that's why John says that I'm a fellow brother. And when he wrote that in Revelation, I'm a fellow brother in what? Look if you would here. Go back to Revelation chapter number 1 in verse number 9. John said, I, John, both your brother and companion, your friend, your co-laborer who's in this with you, in one, the tribulation, and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. That is, John says, I'm going to take up where Jesus left off in the sufferings. That's the tribulation. I'm going to take up where he left off in making subjects to his kingdom. That's what we do as a church in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm going to do it with the patience of Christ, who endured the shame and suffering for the hope that was set before him, the race that he was given. That's simply saying, I'll come to you in the spirit of Jesus Christ. His sufferings, his reign, his patience. Because God's given me, us, a race to run as well. Man, those things preach now. Who's it all about?
Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. Go back and look in Colossians. Let's just look in Colossians, how this unfolds. Paul writing to the church at Colossae. You go back by Ephesians, and then you'll come to Colossae in chapter number 1. Notice what he says in verse number 24. When Paul said he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, that is saying, I preached the gospel. But then he said, to make all fully know. That's saying, that's the teaching ministry side of what I do. I proclaim the redeeming grace of God. God doesn't need to be defended. He just needs to be declared. You don't have to defend a lion. The lion will defend himself. Amen. You don't have to defend God. God will defend himself. All we do is declare what he's given us. We declare his praises. And Paul said this in verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking, what is still yet to be done in the afflictions or the tribulation of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me by grace for you to fulfill this eternal word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, the saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. Paul says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, to this aim, with this in mind, I labor, striving according to his working, which he works in me mightily. Man, that's a word, amen. That's simply saying this is my scope, my aim is an eternal aim. It's the purpose of God. And so when he says these words, that he, what is not finished, what is lacking, what is still yet to be done, what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. One passage says it like this, and the glories that would follow what Jesus accomplished. The glories that would follow him. So that's what John said. John says, brother, I'm a brother and a companion in the afflictions of Christ. I think it was in Acts chapter 14 and around verse number 22, Paul encouraged the church and he said these words. He said, brethren, through much tribulation, we shall enter the kingdom of God. The afflictions that will continue. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to what? Hate you. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake. You see, that's that tribulation that John's in prison right now on the Isle of Patmos because of the gospel and the word of God. And he's taken on those afflictions. Look in Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Paul said these words in verse number 1, therefore we could no longer endure it. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer, companion in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these tribulations, these afflictions. For you yourselves know that you are appointed, you are ordained to this. For in fact, we told you when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened. And you know, man, you can't walk with Jesus and not be afflicted with the afflictions of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
That's all John is saying. I'm a co-laborer, a companion, a fellow brother, a partner with y'all in the cause of Christ. And that cause has caused us much affliction and much trouble. But it pales in the comparison to the glories and the joys that are yet to come. Paul told the church at Thessalonica in his second letter that God wasn't going to give us rest in these afflictions until he returned, until he came back. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, when he says in verse number 6, he says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those that trouble you, and they trouble you for Jesus' sake, for righteousness' sake, verse 7, and to give you who are now troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. We are not going to find rest from tribulation until Jesus comes. What we'll find right now is rest in the tribulation. In it. That's where he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you what? Rest. Not rest from it, but rest in it. And that's what he did. He didn't give us rest from the work. He gives us rest in the work of the kingdom. And we are companions in that together. And John is saying, hey, he's worth it. He is worth it. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, go back toward the Gospels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look what he says here. These things bless you, brother. I'm telling you. Because see, in the kingdom of God, that's that righteous reign of God over us, which we seek first. Nothing's wasted. God doesn't waste a thing. Everything is used for his glory. He says in verse number 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's why it's light, you talked about that, our time on this earth is what? But a moment. It's short, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen in this world, that's not what's governing us, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Man, that's how we can do what we do in hope. That's why we can endure all things for the sake of the eternal work of God and his call upon our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Knowing, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look in verse number 3. 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our what? Tribulation. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of who? Christ. The sufferings of Christ, verse 5, abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are troubled, afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Y'all notice that. So whether you're being afflicted or comforted, nothing is wasted with Jesus, because everything is going to be used to help deliver somebody else out of the mindset of this old world we live in. Everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. That which smells good and that which stinks about life, he's going to use it together. Amen?
Amen.
And he's going to use it so that both deliverance and comfort can be spread through our lives and through the trouble we go through. So that's all John is testifying. He's saying, I'm a co-laborer with y'all. I'm a companion. That's why I'm here stuck on this prison right now. This is later in John's life. He's an old man at this point. We believe that he more than likely wrote that letter of the book of Revelation as he received it from God, who gave it to Jesus, who gave it to his angel, who gave it to John, and then John sent it out. John was around 96 years old when he penned this revelation. Excuse me, it was in AD 96, not him being 96. It was in around AD 96. He could have been around that age. He was an old man. But it was in AD 96. John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the book of Revelation. And each of those books he didn't write until around AD 90. He wrote the Gospel around AD 90. I think he wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John somewhere around 90 to 95, 90, 92, somewhere around up in that area. They were successive. And then the last book he wrote was the Revelation. While he was on the Isle of Patmos, he had this vision that he was heard and seen and penned for us, and that was in AD 96.
People didn't want to hear it, did they?
No, and you know, this is apocalyptic message because it tells us that there's a calamity coming. We'll read as you go through. We talked about this before. You're going to see it several different times. When we get a glimpse of the throne of God, we're going to notice that there will be thunderings and lightnings happening around the throne of God. You think about that for a moment. What in this world we live in, what does thunderings and lightnings normally reveal to us? There's a storm coming. There's a storm brewing. And when we see that, what we get a glimpse of is that there is a storm brewing. There's a storm coming for this world. Now, we're not looking for the storm, we're looking for the Savior. But the only thing this world without Jesus can anticipate is a coming whirlwind, a coming storm, that there'll be no solutions for outside of a Redeemer who gave his life. So we're not looking for the storm, we're looking for the Savior. And always remember this, details about events and time frames doesn't deliver anybody. That doesn't deliver. It's a person who delivers. Amen. It's a person, and that's what this book is. It's not a book about the details of the events and the things that are yet to take place. It is an unveiling of the person of Jesus Christ. And we want to see him, and we want to worship him and serve him. Because he's the one who delivers and sets men free. Not that I know about a detail that is coming. Of course, I want to know all that I can know. But I want to know him more and I want to know the details surrounding these things. Because the details are not what's going to sanctify me and set me apart for his service. That's what he does in his work, in his grace, in my life, in his presence. Amen?
Amen.
Make all the difference in the world. If you're looking for all the details and all that, you'll be just as mean as a snake. But if you're looking for the person, he'll do something in you and give you compassion for the people around you to be a difference maker and help people out. Amen? I know a lot of people that know a lot of details and can tell you a lot, but they're hard to deal with. Because details doesn't do anything to our heart. They just puff up our mind. And a mind that is not fed also with love and compassion from a person, that knowledge just gets us in trouble, you know, gets us to where we are unapproachable and inaccessible and unattainable with people. And we want to be like Jesus. And the only way to be like Jesus is through his grace and knowing him. And he changes us. I want to be more like him. Amen. And this old world needs him. They need him. And he doesn't need to be defended.
No.
He just needs to be declared, delighted in. And man, what a difference he makes. Y'all know that this is so chock-a-block full and rich of just every little statement, every little word can be illuminated and brought out to really speak volumes to us all the way through it. But we want to look for him. Mm-mm. Anybody want to add anything before we run out front? What hope he gives, amen?
Amen.
What hope he gives to folks like you and me. Mm-mm.